Well, we're easing into Christmas vacation and no big news is going to interrupt. In fact, I'm going to record some episodes ahead. And then Carlos Correa's press conference was canceled. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Check that out right there. I am an Emmy-nominated television producer who has been a baseball podcaster for the last decade. For the last four seasons, I've been here at the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod, same handle on Instagram. And you can follow me on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. And please be sure to subscribe to this show on YouTube and get the latest episodes up to date. Recording this kind of late on the 20th of December. It's going to be dropping either the 20th or 21st, no matter where you are in the world. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. I've been recording a whole bunch of episodes because I'd like to take the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's off. I don't want to be recording, but I want to have a brand new show every, 5 days a week on, Christmas week and New Year's week. You get a brand new episode, but I'd like to take a few days off of recording. I figured, you know what? Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to just relax, get those in the can, and I can just sort of take a quick little break and get re-energized for the new year. I had a podcast that was uploaded and ready to go for tomorrow. And then the Carlos Correa news came. And here's the deal. I can't do a whole show on the Carlos Correa situation because we don't know yet. The implications of this are they could be gigantic, not just for the Giants, pun intended, not sure. But it also could be gigantic for what it means to the free agent market. Carlos Correa just got a 13-year deal from the San Francisco Giants. And today was supposed to be the day he shows up with his hat, his new uniform. Here he is, the big new face. The Giants got one of the great players, one of the most coveted players in the last bunch of years. A potential Hall of Famer, big game player, possible franchise player, possible MVP type, and someone could really spark that Dodger-Giants rivalry because, I'm not sure you know about this, they don't much care for him in Los Angeles. But here we are. On the day of the announcement, it was called off. The announcement was called off. It's like the bride didn't show up to the wedding. And it turned into a extraordinarily confusing situation. Now, apparently it was called off because of something medical. And by the time this podcast comes out, we'll probably know. I don't know. You don't know. Susan Slusser doesn't know. She's a great Giants writer if you don't know her. So we're sitting here going, what the hey is happening? Now, it was apparently a part of the physical. It's a pending physical. He will sign a 13-year deal worth quadrillions of dollars, blah, 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 blah. And that pending physical always feels like a formality because obviously they did their due diligence. Obviously they took a look at the medical reports. Obviously they know they're getting a healthy free agent. Why else would you sign someone to a 13-year deal? Hell, 13 years is a great career, let alone starting at this point in his career. So obviously you've done your homework on this, right? Right? And here we are. There was a red flag. Apparently, didn't have to do with his back. He has had back issues, but for the last three seasons, including the COVID year, the year the Astros won the pennant in 2021, and the year he played for Minnesota, he missed some, he had a fracture at one point, but he did manage to play 130 games this year with the Minnesota Twins. So he's not like someone who is super injury prone, and yet here we are. Now, if he fails the physical, pending physical, if he fails the physical, the hell does this mean? The Giants committed to Carlos Correa, and Carlos Correa committed to the Giants. This was a big, huge honking move. But now, no matter what, the Giants have to be thinking, well, wait a minute, we don't have a signed contract here. It was a pending physical. We have to maybe rework this. You can't sign someone, expect them to be healthy for 13 seasons, and he doesn't even make it to Christmas. You know, he doesn't make it to the first day of winter. You know, this has been a weird offseason for the Giants. At one point, they thought they had signed Aaron Judge, and now they think they've signed Carlos Correa. They thought they, at one point, signed two of the biggest free agents you can have. And we don't know what's going on. Will this void the contract? Will this mean they have to go back to the drawing boards? And if you're a franchise kind of on the outside looking in, like the Orioles, who I thought, who have a glaring need at shortstop, also have a glaring need for a boost to their team. How about the Red Sox, who just happened to lose a beloved franchise shortstop? Granted, the Red Sox aren't going to sign him because they signed Trevor Story and blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes. But now what happens? What does this mean for the Giants? This was the centerpiece. They made a bunch of pretty good moves, giving themselves some depth in the outfield, giving some depth in the pitching staff. But Correa was the centerpiece. Now, is he damaged goods, literally? Is this a situation where they're going to have to take, you know, kick the tires and say, hey, we got to try something else? Is he going to go back to free agency? Are they going to renegotiate? And is it going to be contentious? You would imagine that the Giants are not too pleased about this. You would imagine that on the eve of Christmas, where, oh, I don't know, a lot of people buy presents, and maybe some of the presents would include Giants season tickets, Carlos Correa uniforms, all that stuff, that this is the story that's being talked about now? Well, look it. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's up. None of us know what's going to happen. And at this point, it's all speculation. But if Correa goes back to the free agent market, is that going to mean Minnesota will start salivating and say, hey, we can get him back for 3 or 4 years, or maybe a short-term deal to prove that he's healthy again? I'll tell you who looks really good right now. The Astros. The Astros look really smart right now. And I got on the Astros last year for not bringing back Carlos Correa, even on a short-term term, even on the deal that he signed with Minnesota. Because I thought, hey, this is a guy, he's the heart and soul of this team. He understands what it means to be an Astro. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said it all. I didn't know Jeremy Pena was waiting in the wings. Yes, I knew they had Jeremy Pena, and I knew their plan was to have this young kid fill in for him, but I didn't think that he would be the player that he was in the postseason, winning the ALCS and World Series MVP. Framber Valdez should have won the World Series MVP, but I digress. Jeremy Pena had a marvelous World Series. Jeremy Pena took that role, and the Astros are giggling right now. Giggling the way the Red Sox used to, when they would take heat for letting a beloved player like Nomar or Pedro Martinez take a walk. They traded away Nomar, of course, and they let Pedro take a walk. And as it turned out, they were right not to sign those guys to super long-term deals, and Johnny Damon to a super long-term deal, because they wouldn't have survived a super long-term deal. And the players they got in their stead, not letting Pedro Martinez walk, allowed them to get Josh Beckett, allowing Johnny Damon to walk, allowed them to develop Jacoby Ellsbury. You know, allowing Nomar to walk allowed them to keep the rest of the team that formulated the 2007 championship, not just the 2004. And sometimes a team can look really smart, letting a beloved player walk and have someone else pick up the tab of the breaking down years. Remember Albert Pujols walked away from the Cardinals after winning the 2011 World Series title and signed with the Angels for a $7 quadrillion contract? And remember how the Angels had trouble even putting a winning product on the field while the Cardinals kept going back to the playoffs over and over and over and over again and winning a pennant in 2013, partly for the player they got as free agent compensation, Michael Wacha, in the signing for Albert Pujols? Astros may have looked like that kind of a smart organization. The emotion said to re-sign Carlos Correa. But maybe, just maybe, they know a little more. And you know what? It is an absolute surefire bet that the Astros are laughing right now, knowing we made the right call. By the way, if you want to make any bets, go to betonline.net. It's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends from every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball and World Cup. They got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you'll even find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. Hey, I wanted to say thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Make sure to check out Locked On Sports Today, the biggest sports stories, and all the best takes, 20 minutes or less, at Locked On Sports Today, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. I just can't help but wonder if this is going to be a second chance. You saw the Orioles. A lot of people are mad at the Orioles. And for some reason, Trey Mancini is still available, still a beloved Oriole. He could be re-signed for a song. He was traded away at the trade deadline by the Orioles to Houston. Didn't quite work out in Houston. He got a World Series ring for his troubles and actually made a very nice defensive play in the World Series, but really didn't contribute much offensively. But imagine, you know, whatever you got back from Trey Mancini in the trade from Houston suddenly just becomes free prospects. Bring back Mancini, stick him on the team. Fans are happy. It's not going to cost you that much. And Mancini returns to the Orioles with a World Series ring, and that may work out. But they, I wonder if they're seeing that the asking price for someone like Correa will go down dramatically. It has to, at least in terms of years. So, look, we're all going to monitor this. We're all going to take a nice long look and take a look to see whether or not there's going to be any at all movement of Carlos Correa in the free agent market. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to find out there was something not great about him physically. I think everyone's going to have a little bit of egg on their face. And I think they're going to renegotiate things with a ton of, opt-out years. It may not be as many years altogether, but it'll be a substantial contract. Now, if it goes from 13 to 7 years, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, you can't, you know, when you're going to have someone who could become a potential health albatross. This is not me saying, oh, you know, wanting teams to cut corners and everything like that. There's a big difference between a contract where a team's just being cheap and a team's using due diligence. You have someone like Correa could be locked up until the year, 2036. Jesus, I can't believe that year that I just said, which seems like it's so deep in the future, could be, Carlos Correa could still be cashing a check then. But we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see how this unfolds. This has already been a weird, unpredictable offseason. And if you throw him back into the mix, would someone just offer him the biggest one-year deal you ever saw in your life? It wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota got back in the race. But I do think he's going to wind up with the Giants just because it would be too embarrassing for all parties if he goes out to the free agent market. The Giants have to tell their fans that we didn't sign this player, and Correa is going to have to get a much, much smaller deal. So we'll see what happens. Let me tell you what I'm going to do right now. We are going to go to another commercial break. This is a shorter segment than I normally do. But a couple weeks ago, Miller Thomas, who's my guest host every Monday, we did a show, and at the end, I went on a very long rant. And it started because we were talking about the film Wakanda Forever, the Black Panther sequel. And it went on a little bit of a rant that I had about another film starring Chadwick Boseman, which was 42, which was the Jackie Robinson biopic that came out. I'm thinking it was 2013, 2014, something like that, with Harrison Ford and Chadwick Boseman. And I had some thoughts about it. I think it's a well-made movie, but there's some things about it that kind of stick in my craw. And the rant I went on was just too long to include in the show. So what I'm going to do is, for the final part of the show, I'm going to play you that rant. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you listen to it. But first, did you know that driving high is considered driving under the influence? That's right. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law in every state, even in states where marijuana is legal. That means driving high could get you a DUI. And if you think law enforcement officers can't tell when you're driving high, you're wrong. Your friends can tell, your coworkers can tell, even your parents can tell. Everyone can tell. So what makes you think that law enforcement officers don't know when you're driving high? Driving under the influence of marijuana can slow your response time and change how you perceive time and speed. So even if you think you're fine to drive when you're high, you're not. Because the bottom line is, if you feel different, you drive different. So driving high is driving under the influence. So remember, drive high, get a DUI. This is paid for by NHTSA. So for the third segment, we're going to be talking about Wakanda Forever.
Hey.
Before we started, that was just made to make Millard laugh. Before we hit record, both of us had seen the new Marvel film Wakanda Forever, the sequel to Black Panther, the massive blockbuster from, when was it, 2018, 2019?
Yeah,
when did blockbuster? Yeah, something like that. And man, not a dry eye in the house when they see the images of Chadwick Boseman in that movie. Great. By the way, should have won. I mean, look, no offense, Anthony Hopkins is a great actor. He won the Oscar. God forbid we praise Anthony Hopkins. But Chadwick Boseman and Ma Rainey was unbelievable performance that he gave it. And he was Jackie Robinson in 42, a film I have mixed feelings about. I have some mixed feelings about. I think it's technically brilliant, and very good performances. Chadwick Boseman was great. Harrison Ford's eyebrows were spectacular. It was more of the mythology of Jackie than some of the reality of his story, which I like. For example, the whole scene when Pee Wee Reese puts his arm around him in front of the hostile crowd in Cincinnati. There's no record of that ever happening. There's no evidence that that happened. Jackie never mentions that in his own biography. There were reporters, not just white reporters, but black reporters, who were following every move that Jackie made that entire season. It was huge news. Not one contemporary paper mentioned that happening. It's several years later, and even the way it's staged in the movie, Pee Wee Reese would have to run across the diamond to first base to put his arm around him, and because it's very awkward. Several years later, at a game in Boston, when Jackie had moved over to second base and Pee Wee there was a moment when there was a hostile crowd and Pee Wee put his arm around him, but it may have been just to discuss, I'm going to cover first base. You know, I'm going to say something. I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to be woke or anything. I'm just being. I think something like that is in there to make someone like me feel better.
Okay,
that's in there. So if I'm a white member of the audience, I would have been like Pee Wee. I would have been the people. No, I would have been that guy. That totally would have been me, instead of sort of telling it from his point of view. There was also a fellow named Bankhead. I forget his name, Luke Bankhead. I'll have to look it up. Do you know who he was?
I have no idea.
He was an African-American player who briefly was Jackie's teammate in 1947.
Mm.
You would think that would be an important plot point in the film.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's not alone. You would think that him taking a young player under his wing, saying, okay, now there's someone else here. You would think that that would be, I don't know, I'm not a screenwriter, but don't you think maybe that little moment, or the fact that when he was integrating the game, Cleveland did as well, bringing in Larry Doby and bringing in Satchel Paige? You would think that maybe that would be an interesting thing to explore. And again, I think a lot of that was to emphasize the martyrdom of Jackie rather than looking at, here's a pet peeve I have. And again, I'm opening this up. And again, write the letters at me. This writing project I'm doing about the 1972 World Series, Jackie Robinson is a big part of this writing project because Jackie Robinson made his final public appearance at the 1972 World Series and died days later. And he gave a speech where he, very grateful because it was the 25th anniversary, but the last words he said were, I'm going to be a lot happier when I see a black face is managing in the major leagues. Thank you very much. His last things he said publicly was a little bit of a middle finger. And Jackie's whole life was being a fighter and giving middle fingers to people and picking fights in the media and picking fights with this. But there's been this sort of weird fetishizing of making him a martyr, not fighting back. And I think the film emphasized that mythology of him instead of the more interesting person who was a very vocal fighter and a very passionate fighter and someone who was not someone just taking the abuse. He fought back big time. And so I felt that movie focused, while incredibly well-intentioned and well-made and all that stuff, and if you knew nothing about Jackie, it's a wonderful introduction to him, but I think it focused too much on fetishizing the abuse he took, but throwing in enough stuff so someone like me can feel better about myself. And I think the real person was more interesting than the myth. That's my take on that. Wow. I had no intention of talking about this, except the fact that you and I saw Wakanda Forever recently. Yeah. We chatted about that. But yeah, if you read his autobiography, I never had it made. I remember when someone was saying stuff about Kaepernick negative things about Kaepernick on social media. And the person would say, why couldn't this person be more like Jackie Robinson? And so I started throwing out, what about this Kaepernick quote? Like, I could never salute the flag. This is not my country. This is not man. And they said, yeah, why? You never hear Jackie saying that. I said, actually, no, that's actually from the Jackie Robinson autobiography. Like, there's a bunch of things that, he's not the silent fighter you think he is. Anyway, I didn't mean to get on a soapbox there, but
No, and we were talking about him pre-show too, because I gave you the fun fact. There are three D-backs players that have, retired numbers. And one, Randy Johnson, Luis Gonzalez. Who's the third guys?
Jackie Robinson. Anyway, that's just maybe, I don't know if I'm the one who should be talking about this or not, but it's just, that's my, again, the film as a film is a fine film. It's a good movie. And I'm very happy it was a hit movie. I was very, for a lot of people it was like their introduction to him. So I have to take that, not everyone's read three or four biographies of the man. So maybe it's a good way to have, but the inclusion of the Pee Wee Reese mythology and not including Bankhead in it, to me is saying you're focused more on this myth to make us feel better, me feel better, than to tell the more interesting story. And that's just my take. And don't throw your emails at Miller. Throw them at me. If you say, you woke liberal.
Blah, blah. I'm going to need my third eye open now, the next rewatch of 42, because you just dropped hella knowledge on me, Sully, and the rest of the listening audience. I didn't have my research up on Jackie Robinson, but now I got to rewatch it with a new perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, read his autobiography. It's a really well, I've read his biography. Again, I'm doing this for my 1972 World Series project. And it's very passionate, he fought with Malcolm X, through the media, he would write articles. He had a column that he wrote, and a lot of times would go after a lot of other civil rights leaders, and they went after him. I mean, he did not care who he upset, and he was a very interesting guy. Member of the Republican Party until the Goldwaters took over, and then he supported Nixon over Kennedy, but then became very anti-Nixon when Nixon lost his damn mind. So, anyway,
yeah.
I didn't mean to preach. You know, you know what the funny thing is? Again, before we started recording this, I said I'm going to go preach today, and I was totally joking, and now I'm starting to preach.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm listening. I'm taking in the word of Sully right now, getting Testify. A little lesson in. Yeah, again, we got hit with the Holy Ghost right there, Sully. You had to just go on a little rant real quick.
And let it be said.
Amen.
Let me read from the book of Built Bars.
Okay.
Let's see how many more people I can offend today. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm trying to.
No,
I'm
I don't think that, you even said anything offensive. I don't think I worried about getting canceled.
I think sometimes the real person. I'm a history buff. When you read about the real people and you read about some of their flaws and some of their character traits, the real people I find more interesting than the mythology. The real Dr. King is more interesting than the mythology of Dr. King. The real George Washington is infinitely more interesting than the mythology of George Washington. The real Mother Teresa is more interesting than the sort of the deified Mother Teresa, which makes her no less an admirable person. It's just these are more interesting people. The real Harriet Tubman is more interesting than the myth. And so I always think that there's someone who has been kind of deified, I always say, I want to read a biography to see what that person was really like. And they wind up usually becoming more interesting and in many ways more admirable because you see that they're a person who had flaws and had character things that they weren't demigods. And that made what they did even more admirable. And I think there are few people in the world I admire more than Jackie Robinson in our history. I went to Jackie Robinson Day in LA last year where 100-year-old Rachel Robinson was there. I started crying. I'm like going, that's her. She's 100. She's still with us. And all the players were wearing 42. I think they were playing the Diamondbacks. And they were all the players were wearing 42. Very emotional because it was the 75th anniversary of the breaking of the color barrier. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there. Magic Johnson. All these famous people were there. And yeah, I teared up. And there's few people in the world I admire in our history more than Jackie. I just think the real person is more interesting than the myth. Because he's a flawed man. Therefore, his strength he showed wasn't from like a supernatural power. It came from his actual strength and courage.
Yeah, he started the whole modern era. So I don't know how much more you want to go in on Jackie Robinson.
Oh, beyond just baseball. I mean, you could pinpoint the momentum of the civil rights movement to the forcing people to examine their beliefs based on what he did in 1947, and which is one reason why I think sports is one of the great equalizers. You know, it forces people. You know, another person I've read a lot about whose reality is more interesting than the mythology is Clemente. And when Clemente was playing, a lot of the press insisted on calling him Bob or Bobby because Roberto was too Latin. And they try to portray any Latin players as not as smart because they can't really speak English as if they could speak Spanish. And it took a while for people to say, hey, wait a minute, the smartest guy in this team is the guy from Puerto Rico. And the stereotypes that is destroyed, the stereotypes that an Ichiro is destroyed, and the stereotypes of that, you know, Hank Greenberg and Sandy Koufax destroyed. When you see people who are bursting through and are stereotypes, a lot of times it's through sports because it's, you know, you can't fake it. If you hit the home run, if you struck out the batter, if you got the out, there's no denying that, you know. So anyway, remember when we said we weren't sure what we were going to talk about the third segment? I didn't realize it's going to turn into this. All right. But hopefully I didn't upset. I know what I could have said that could have been possibly upsetting to anybody.
I don't think you said anything but facts there, Sully.
There you go. I'm just laying down some reality to you. Welcome to Locked on Reality.
Yeah, I just felt like I took in like a history class or something. I just sat back and listened, and I should have taken some notes or something. I feel like I need to give you a report at the end of
I am twice your age. Remember that. It broke my heart a little bit. It's like, I can imagine when you're 60 years old. Like, oh, you mean 10 years older than I am now?
That's a long ways
that
away.
Ancient Mariner. That's right. I am the Ancient Mariner. Do you know how you know that?
Oh, there you go.
Shirt. I'm wearing a Mariner shirt.
For the audio listeners, Sully's currently stripping, so please head to
YouTube. All right. And which brings us to Blue Chew. Okay. I think we better end this. Let's end this nightmare. Tell people where they can listen to your show.
Listen to my show, Locked on Diamondbacks. You can follow us on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, or look up Locked on Diamondbacks on both Twitter, Instagram, and of course, follow us on YouTube, Locked on Diamondbacks on there as well.
All right, thanks for making Locked on MLB your first listen today. For second listen, check out Locked on Diamondbacks. Third listen, you know what to do. Check out Locked on Sports Today. It's available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow me at Locked on MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Preaching the book of Locked on. This has been your pal Sully with Miller Thomas. Let's give ourselves a righteous fist pump and call it a Monday.
Amen.